Paul McKenna wrote those famous books, I Can Make You Rich, I Can Make You Thin. My guest today says, I can teach you to time travel and teleport without any device. James Wright, Rainbow Emperor and Time Lord, joins us on Open Loops. As you sit there now, drifting, dreaming, your unconscious mind is tuned in with rapid focus to your favorite late-night talk show for the Shamelessly Fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Hello, everybody. Greg Bornstein here. Your cultural hypnotist. Your curator of experience. Your looper. And of course, a consciousness, boing, disruptor. My goal on this show, Open Loops, is to challenge your existing belief systems with radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind so you can step into the highest version of yourself. Now, the highest version of yourself has to encompass the things that, well, aren't in your waking reality. That's what this show's about. We're drawing attention to the secretive, the esoteric, the magical, the mystical, the hypnotic, the conspiratorial, who and what we really are, the hardest questions, the ones that rip at your core. But once you elevate them into your mind, once you focus on them, you can't help but expand, because that's what an open loop is. Well, actually, I'll tell you what I really mean by that in a little bit. Expansion, opening up, things that you didn't know were possible. My guest today, James Wright, who is, of course, a Time Lord, Rainbow Emperor, PhD of Metaphysical Sciences, Reiki Master, all kinds of things. He has developed a way that he claims you can time travel and teleport. You can actually use your mind to experience superhero powers. Now, I myself have the kit. I haven't dedicated myself fully to the practice of it because, as I tell James in this interview, I'm a little scared. That said, he's experienced it. He says he knows people who've experienced it. I'm going to tell you, if you listen to this episode already, you're going to have an understanding of some of the basic tools you need in the DOT training kit to be able to experience teleportation or time travel. It involves meditation, it involves regular practice, and it involves believing it's even possible. I like James. Very cool guy. Very, very different view of the world, but also a spiritual view. And best part of this is that I'm releasing this today, September 1st. It is James's birthday. So listen to this episode, but also check out his website, which is in the show notes, truetimetravel.com. And the mission of this is to get this technology out there. I mean, how cool would it be if everybody started applying these principles and we were time traveling and teleporting without needing any big tech to do it? Yes, get rid of big tech time travel. Do it yourself. Now, as an effort to get this message out there, make sure you share Open Loops with your friends, families, and anonymous super soldiers. Because hey, those are the ones that might need this too. They shouldn't rely on the technology from the government. And if you like Open Loops, make sure you follow it, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and rate the show and leave a review. Definitely helps keep these conversations going. I'm excited about this one. I was very excited to interview this gentleman, James L. Wright, the Time Lord, coming at you now. Today on Open Loops, we have someone with the, he has the longest title I've ever had on the show so far. Let's see if I can get it right, James. Let's see. He is a time travel expert, teleportation expert. Let me get this. Actually, wait, I just had this pulled up. This will be good. A sovereign seraphim angel, divine king, rainbow emperor, lord and ascended master, Dr. James L. Wright, PhD, the Time Lord. James Wright is here today on Open Loops, and we're going to go into how he became the Time Lord, his theories on what makes what he calls true time travel, in other words, dot training, which is a course that he sells, Work for Others, and the power of tapping into these abilities that come with ascending your consciousness. James, thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, Greg, for having me. It's an honor
yes.
to be interviewed by you.
Oh, well, look, it's an honor to interview you. I'm so fascinated by time travel. And, you know, I saw you telling people early on when I was starting to do research that it's an ability that all of us have. Is that written about in ancient texts? What is the connection with time travel and the history of humanity in your experience?
He time traveled. He was a time traveler. He went to the future. So it was, it's always been around, but the information has been suppressed by the church over the years. What is it called? It was suppressed so you wouldn't gain Christ consciousness, because it takes Christ consciousness to actually achieve it. You have to dissolve your ego. And once you dissolve the ego, because the ego gives you diminished capacity mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Yeah. So you're saying Jesus Christ, the actual living Jesus Christ, was
a time traveler. Yeah, Christ consciousness, having the mind of Jesus, the same consciousness, because this is the second coming, and the second coming is everyone waking up to the same abilities.
Yeah. Would you describe yourself as a Christian?
No, I did study Christianity, but the Bible limits you. It doesn't actually tell you how Jesus did it. Because all my life, I was like, how did he do it? And yeah. I just happened to be at the right place at the right time. And I actually got it from Seth. Jane Roberts is famous for channeling Seth. And
right.
My ex-wife, she could channel Seth, and he gave me the training.
Wow. Now, for those that don't know, because it's actually been brought up on this show before by other people, but never really gone into it, can you talk about a little bit about Seth and Jane Roberts' work? Who is Seth, and how did that come about?
Seth is a seraphim angel, too. He's here to help humanity wake up also. He has a few books out and that Jane Roberts put out.
So and Seth is an angel.
Yeah, a seraphim angel. It's the closest angel to God.
Wow. Wow. Now, does
the
Seth...
training turns you into it. The training turns you into a seraphim angel. That's how you get your abilities. It's like miraculous divine intervention. You work together because the supernatural powers you develop to time travel and teleport, it's its own consciousness. It has Christ consciousness on its own. But you work as a team together and go. The universe is like your playground.
Wow. So
actually, all universes, you're not limited to this universe. You could actually time travel and teleport to other universes.
Have you done that?
Yes. Yeah,
what?
It's done with the macabre technology.
What do you think, James, is the difference between what you're doing and training people how to do versus astral projection?
Well, astral projection or remote viewing, you're actually leaving your body. But the dot training, you have to physically take your body. Because your body is made of divine light.
Yeah.
So you can actually travel faster than the speed of light. So you dilate time when you travel. You could be gone for 2 weeks on an adventure. And then when you come back, it's like the exact moment you left. So it's like you never left, but yet you've been gone for 2 weeks.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, look, James, you know, people are going to listen to this and go, I would love to learn this training to maybe go back and fix something in my life that went wrong. That's what a lot of people think with time travel movies. You can change history, maybe kill Adolf Hitler, all that stuff. I mean,
you couldn't use it to kill Adolf Hitler, for example. You couldn't, that would be misusing it. Because there's a set of requirements that make the dot training work.
Yeah, what are those requirements?
The requirement is the mind of God. So if you live in requirement, you have Christ consciousness, which is the mind of God. And the requirements are...
Oh.
No attachment, no judgment, no ego, love everything. Trust everything, giving, intimacy, total honesty, and stay in the moment. And staying in the moment is really important because that's where all the magic happens. But if you're in requirement, let's have the physical and the mental exercises. That's how it gets it to work, by being in requirement.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I think this is, some people might go, well, wait a minute, how is it, if I'm staying in the now, how does that then lead me to be able to travel through time?
Yeah. See, you're missing all of the action by not living in the now. The omens in the moment, or synchronicities, that happens by living in the moment. That's when you catch it. But like living in the past causes depression, and living in the future causes anxiety. And then living in attachment, because no attachment is one of the requirements, and attachment causes suffering. So living in the moment is where you find peace, love, joy, and ecstasy by living in the moment. And it actually, the desire is the fuel, and it takes love to turn the key to time travel and teleport. So it's actually the power of love, and desire is fueling it. So it's like a cold fusion that's fusing together, the desire and the love together. It's divine. It's divine desire. It's like... you're lining up your desire of what the universe desires. It's not in particular what you desire, but it's what you desire in alignment of what the universe desires. and then love comes in and turns the key, and then you have a time travel experience or a teleportation experience.
Wow. Now it's getting very profound here, James. And I think what you're teaching is a different understanding of our relation to time in general. There is almost I'm sensing a sense of omniscience, a sense of, I mean, look, it's not, you know, Jesus didn't grab a DeLorean and go back to 1955. It wasn't anything like that. It was a higher level purpose. I mean, what are, from your life, James, what are some examples of when you might say, hey, you know what? I'm going to time travel today.
Yeah, see, you do the mental and physical exercises by living in requirement. Then the universe gives you a gift. When you have a time travel and teleportation experience, it isn't like a parlor trick that you can take on the road
right.
and then show off it, because it does it on its own. You just come along for the ride. You're like the conduit, but the universe is in charge. I'm just teaching you how to ask for it. You're
that
learning
is
how to request for it. And then they take you for a ride. It isn't something like a parlor trick that you could just whip out at any moment.
Right.
But it happens quite often. You just stay in quiet. It's something that changes your life for the rest of your life. Because once you're awakened, you're awakened. And once you develop the ability, you always have the ability. And all the technology comes from within. We're designed with the technology. And then you ask, well, where is all this power coming from? Because Michio Kaku mentioned that you need the power of a black hole to
right.
time travel. So love has that power. Love has the power of the black hole. So, and within you, you're made of 23% antimatter. And within every proton, there's three types of antimatter. So that's where your supernatural abilities come from within. And it has its own consciousness, the supernatural ability. So you're working as a team together.
Yeah. Do you think... Here's what's interesting. I mean, I in general, I think this message that you're preaching about Christ consciousness and about love, there are a lot of people that would stop there. They'd say, hey, look, once you tap into love, once you tap into divinity, once you tap into your ascension, it's so much better than any other supernatural phenomena. You don't need to worry about aliens or ghosts or anything like that. You just feel one with source. You're everything.
Yeah.
What do you think it is about time travel and teleportation that takes that to the next level?
I don't understand your question.
Well, I guess what I mean is that, you know, why aren't you just the heart lord? Or the love lord, you know, why aren't you just preaching love? Why do you think time travel and teleportation is so key to everything you're trying to bring to the universe?
I see. It's the bait. It's the bait for Christ consciousness. Here, if you want to time travel, you want to teleport, you want to have supernatural abilities, well, for that to happen, you have to have Christ consciousness. But really, those abilities is the bait to become Jesus, to become Christ-like. Yeah, it's the bait.
That's interesting. So really, I mean, look, I'm not trying to give away the James Wright secrets over here, but if there was a way of saying, hey, look, you don't even need this time travel and teleportation stuff. Really, you just need to become Christ conscious. If that was really, if there was a way to bring that message to the public.
You get all kinds of abilities. It doesn't just stop with that. You get telekinesis, mental telepathy, Yeah, you get whatever supernatural abilities there are to achieve. It stems from unconditional love with desire, desire being the fuel, unconditional love turning the key. And then you have supernatural abilities through Christ consciousness, because Jesus knew this. That's how he had. He was really the original superhero with superpowers. But
that's a good
he's
point.
The most famous one. He's the most famous one. There have been other ones that have supernatural abilities throughout history, but Jesus is the most famous.
Yeah. Do you, so you think
it's divine,
that...
It's actually a Atlantean technology that we have within us.
Oh, tell me more about that technology. How did you discover it?
Just by doing the thought training, waking up to it, you wake up to the abilities little by little. Actually, when I asked Seth for the training, I was only asking how I could teleport my body. But then I started time traveling. Then I started traveling to other universes, then other planets. And even one time the past has changed. But you're not the one changing the past. It's a higher consciousness that you're working with. You're just the conduit. You're asking for the experience, and then they come in and give you a gift, which is a supernatural ability. That just little by little, I just kept waking up more and more and more as I did the training.
So this is the training that you got from Seth. Seth was saying, hey, look, you want to experience this. This is what you do. And
yeah, it took like 45 minutes a session, like 8 sessions to get it. And I just had the bare bones of it.
Oh,
so
wow.
I added all the experiences that I've learned. Like in the book, in the training book, I mentioned the experiences that I got along the way. And then in both the DVDs, more experiences and more wakefulness I got along the way until I got to the Garden of Eden, which is a supernatural reality that you just have to wake up to.
Wait a minute. Do you mean the literal Garden of Eden?
Yeah, the literal Garden of Eden is a type of consciousness. It's a higher vibrational frequency. You raise your DNA. You raise your DNA's electromagnetic vibrational frequency because our DNA is made of light. So you raise the vibrational frequency to at least the fourth, fifth, and sixth dimension. That's the Garden of Eden. And it's a supernatural experience. Like Jesus, for him to have a supernatural power, he was in the Garden of Eden doing
that.
It's supernatural fruit of the Spirit.
This is very, I mean, this is definitely a different way of connecting with reality. Do you have people that, I mean, look, I imagine if you're a divine king, lord, ascended master, do you actively have a community of students or people that worship the same, I don't know, spirits that you do? Do you have a church that you run?
It's not worshiping. I do have some apprentices, and it works just fine for them. It'll work for anybody. It's not worshiping. It's becoming godlike, equal.
So when you say you're
equalized.
A, you know, okay. So when you say divine king and rainbow emperor lord, you're not saying, hey, look, I'm above you. I'm just saying that you're saying,
no.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I found the Garden of Eden. And here it is for everyone to have the same title as I do. My title isn't special.
Yeah.
Anyone could achieve what I achieved. And that's what I want for people, to have the same gifts that I've been given. Because
it's interesting.
It's the true, the Garden of Eden is the true reality that we're supposed to be living in. But it's that fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Of judgment. It's judgment of good and evil That's the forbidden fruit. No judgment is one of the requirements, and people are judging every day, being swallowed up by this mud that's causing limitation. It's like a judgment is like a thought-born neurotoxin.
Now, right.
Listen to what I just said. It's a thought-born neurotoxin. So it, like, creates the ego with this judgment. And this ego is like a parasite. It's a supernatural parasite that possesses people. Because you don't really behave yourself when you're infected with the ego. And then when you're infected with the ego, you're not going to have supernatural powers.
Yeah. That's
but
interesting.
But it's judgment that's doing that. It's the judgment that's causing everyone to hallucinate. It's like a hallucination nightmare when these people are trapped in being limited, experience limitation. But we all chose to be here to experience limitation. It's a choice before we come here. But we can make a different choice to be unlimited and get rid of the ego. That's the secret. Stop judging, and then the ego won't be there. But this judgment is like a thought-born neurotoxin parasite.
Yeah. Are you, is it tough for you sometimes to be on this planet, James? I mean, in some ways, I wonder, you know, you're living in a world that is filled with egoic constructs. I mean, why could you stay in the Garden of Eden if you had a choice?
It's frustrating speaking the truth when everyone else is living a lie.
Mm.
That's the hard part.
Yeah.
When everyone's living the lie or in the illusion, but they think it's the truth. That's the weird thing.
Right. Yeah, I mean, my question is, why wouldn't you just stay in the Garden of Eden all day? You know, I appreciate you coming down and teaching us, but, you know, do you have the option? Can, as a Christ-conscious person, could you say, you know what? I'm not even going to bother with these people stuck in the ego. I'm going to live here in this higher space.
Well, I'm in a higher space, a higher vibrational frequency. When I'm trying to get everyone, it's the mud. Everyone's trapped in the mud, experience limitation. But the dot training teaches you how to pull yourself out of the mud, or out of sin, or out of judgment, out of hatred, out of anger. It pulls you out of that. And when you're in unconditional love, that's when the magic happens. It's unconditional love.
Are you in unconditional? So you're in unconditional love.
Yes. For this, for the magic to happen, you have to be.
What's the last magical experience you had?
Oh, the last one. Let's see. Let me think of one. There's so many.
Yeah. Did you travel to another dimension recently? Have you teleported? Wait, when's the last time you can remember?
Let's see. It's been a little while. I've been to other planets. There was this one time that before I was crowned, you get the crowns of Christ when you become. When you get Christ consciousness.
Who crowns you?
I went to the Sutha.
Oh, I was going to say, who crowns you? I mean, does Jesus actually crown?
There's a committee for the Holy Trinity. The Holy Trinity has a committee that does it.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Wait, is the Holy Trinity a group of real people, or is it people in the astral plane?
Divine entities.
They crown you.
Help wake up humanity. Yeah, anybody can be crowned. Once you dissolve the ego and have Christ consciousness, then you have the crowns of Christ. I actually forget how many crowns there are. I think there's like 12.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, sorry to interrupt. So you were saying that the last incident
you
were...
Yeah, I went to another... Before I was crowned, they took me to another planet. And there was crowds of people everywhere. And I was talking with the people there, and they looked human. And then this ship comes down and lands, and the door opens, and this person comes out, but everyone gets on their knees and really fast and on their face, like bowing really quick. And I'm like, what's going on? And he says, get on your knees quick. You're supposed to bow before this person. I'm like, what? And I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Right.
And so I got scared. I didn't get scared yet, but he was like, they behead you if you don't do it. So I got kind of fearful. So I did do it, but it was like too late. And so they like handcuffed me and put a hood over my head. And I guess they were going to take me to behead me because I didn't bow quick enough, which is ridiculous. Because I don't expect that anybody to bow in front of me. That's ridiculous. We're all equal.
Right, right.
And he's not supposed to be doing this, making these people do this. And I'm hooded, handcuffed. Then I start in this elevator going to be beheaded. And I visualize the circuiting gold light, which is like an exorcism tool. And then it broke the handcuffs. And I unhooded myself, then I had roller skates, and I was able to get away, rolling skating down the stairway. And then I was got some help to hide out. But then from the circuiting gold light, which is one of the exercises, the mental exercises, and
right.
It's like an exorcism tool. And it's a mental tool. So I just visualized the circuiting gold light, and they had to leave this planet. It ended up where they had to pack their shit and leave. And it, like, liberated this whole planet from whoever was, like, abusing them pretty much, making them bow on their face. And if they don't do it, they're going to behead them. That's ridiculous. And so that whole planet got liberated.
What? That is, I mean, it's quite a vivid story. Do you, I mean, look, I'm sure someone listening might go, hey, James is clearly having vivid dreams. But I know you know the difference between a dream and you actually traveling somewhere.
It's as real as this reality. Because I've examined things, like touching things, and I've even went to a smorgasbord, loaded ate at a smorgasbord, and then came back, and I was full, like, that morning when I woke up. So it's like, how much more real can that be if you could take a meal?
Yeah. What would someone say?
And then when you travel to other planets, you shapeshift.
Oh.
You look like the beings you're visiting. Like this planet I liberated, they looked human. So there's other humans out there. But when you visit another species of alien, you shapeshift and look like who you're visiting. And that's how you're able to breathe the environment. Like when you go to other planets, you shapeshift to a body that's suitable for the environment.
So what would, if someone were with you, I mean, has anybody ever been in the same room with you when you've teleported or time travel? Would I look at you for 1 second and automatically, would you be gone? Or is your physical body still there? What would somebody see if they were there and this happened to happen
well,
to you?
Well, you can move faster than the speed of light, remember, because you're made of divine light. So you dilate time. So when you do travel, in front of someone, they can't even see you leave and come back.
Oh, my. Something
with that. But I've had people with me, and we teleported together. I had an atheist friend of mine that, you know, he's really doubtful, and we have really cool discussions. But we teleported a couple times together. I've had people see me move in super speed, like I'm walking really slower than normal, but then I'm in a different time and space than someone else, and they see me move like instantaneous down the block.
That is that, has anybody else ever had experiences with your training like this? I mean, do people tell of their stories as well?
Yeah, my friend David, he's an apprentice. He says he travels 3 times a day. I
really?
Don't travel that much. Yeah, but he's got so good at it that he travels 3 times a day.
Oh, gosh. That is, I definitely want to talk to David. Yeah, I'm very curious about,
yeah.
I mean, that is such a, I mean, it's a big claim to make, and I think people want to experience it, even though you say it's definitely possible for everybody. And the thing I find fascinating,
well,
James,
because it's unbelievable, remember, everyone's living the lie.
Right. That's true. Yeah, have you had thoughts about how to wake people up? I mean, how do we get the planet to break free of the lie?
You got to eliminate the ego. If you can eliminate the ego, we would have heaven on earth. That's the only blockade that's in our way is the ego. Judgment and ego. If you can eliminate that, then we would have heaven on earth. That's why no one's in the Garden of Eden. They blame Adam and Eve for losing the Garden of Eden, but everyone's making the exact same choice by living in judgment instead of unconditional love. It's like a binary switch. It's like judgment and hatred or unconditional love.
Yeah. I wonder...
And it switches it off quick. Once you're judging, then you're being swallowed up by the mud or by sin or
yeah.
by limitation or by the lie. Because judgment, it's like what I love to, when someone judges me, I love to say, your judgment of me doesn't define me, it defines yourself. Because usually they're looking in the mirror when someone is judging. They're judging themselves in reality.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, do you find yourself in situations where people are judging you? I mean, do you go out in public and talk about this time travel stuff?
Oh, yeah, demonizing and judging, yeah, sometimes. It doesn't happen as much as it used to. You learn how to blast them with love, and that wakes them up. You say something that wakes them up to trigger them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, something loving.
This is, I definitely think that it people are going to, it's hard. I think you're right. The ego is, it traps a lot of people. And I wonder if, well, do you feel, James, I'm not sure how tuned into, you know, social media and the climate of things is changing, but there are a lot more people now talking about raising your vibration than there used to be. It's a lot more popular. Do you think the world is slowly ascending now that there's more interest in these topics?
Yeah, it's the age of Aquarius. It's the new age. It's supposed to happen, but there's forces out there trying to fight against it, of course. But we just got to help people wake up. It's really up to them. We could give you the tools. We can't pull you out of the mud, but we could teach you how to pull yourself out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With the dot training.
Yeah. And how quickly, The dot trading, which you can get at truetimetravel.com, we're going to link to it. How quickly do you think people can experience what you're telling people they're going to be able to, these superpowers, if you will?
Oh, it's my first time travel experience happened within a week or two. My very first time travel experience. So it could happen quick, but more you do it, more awake you become. Like, don't quit once you get an experience. You have to keep going with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm someone that definitely has not done enough meditation, I would say. I don't have a regular practice. I mean, I do a lot of self-hypnosis, but I don't have a meditation practice. So definitely, and living in New York City, it can be hard to stay in the present. I mean, do you have any tips to get there?
Yeah, all the gifts you get are in the dot training. That's how you get your gifts. It's gifts from the universe. You know, give it about 100 days.
Yeah.
100 days, it really starts kicking in really good. That's what David said for him. And for me, it started, you know, he got experiences here and there before the 100 days, but in about 100 days, it really kicks in really good.
Tell me this.
But yeah, but somewhere like in New York, you know, you can make eye contact with people and think in your head, I love you, I trust you. You know, it's really, that's one of the exercises. I was making eye contact and saying, I love you, I trust you. Hugging 3 trees a day.
Yeah.
When I first time traveled, it was hugging a tree. And then I heard it speak to me. It said, I was just a sapling when this house was being built. And then I turned at the house I was staying at, and I saw it all framed out, and I could hear the saws and the hammers going. So I time traveled. A tree took me on a time travel trip. But each and every mental and physical exercise is a different way to do it. So every time you perform a mental and physical exercise, being in requirement, that's when it happens.
I have to ask you about this because I've seen it. I saw it depicted very recently, actually. I went to an outdoor garden and someone put up a sculpture of this symbol. And I thought, oh, my gosh, James Wright. He talks about this. The Merkaba. What exactly is that for people that don't know? Can you explain the origins of that symbol?
It's your time machine, multidimensional spacecraft. It's actually the throne of God. That's what raises your vibrational frequency. There's the Merkaba, and it raises your DNA's electromagnetic vibrational frequency higher and higher. It's 3 octahedrons that spin within each other opposite directions. They have different colors and different numbers. But you visualize that around your body for 10 minutes a day, and then you can leave it running all day. And then there's the infinity exercise. That's the infinity symbol that you visualize on your forehead with your third eye, the intersection with your third eye, and you trace it for 5 minutes a day, and that gives you the mind of God. So the Merkaba gives you the body and soul of God, and the infinity key gives you the mind of God.
How did you discover, I mean, did that come from Seth, that symbol? I know it's been around for a long time.
Yeah, you've had a channel with the training. I channel this stuff now because Seth is a channel. Jane Roberts channeled Seth, and then my wife channeled Seth. So then by doing the training, it teaches you how to channel. So you get information from the Akashic Records because that's where all the information is.
Yes.
So as you do the training and you raise your vibration, then you can hear your guides. You see omens in the moment, living in the moment. you know, omens happen all the time, but if you're not aware of it, you just miss it by living out of the moment. So those omens or synchronicities, those are messages from the universe too.
Now, the Merkaba is, it comes from, there's a lot in the Kabbalah about it. It seems to be an ancient, almost mystical tool that people have talked about for ages. Do you think, here's my question for you, James. Do you think any of this knowledge that you're sharing, I know that there are a lot of occult circles, there are magicians out there, people that say, hey, look, this stuff, it should only be in the hands of people who are going to use it wisely. But do you think that's an egoic way of looking at this technology?
Yeah, you can't misuse it. That's the thing. It's in control. Love is in control. You're not. That's why it's not a parlor trick. You can't misuse it. As long as you're in requirement, it won't work otherwise. Like, that's what I mean. You can't go back and kill Adolf Hitler because you would be misusing it. It's not for that. Maybe you can go back in time and show him the error of his ways. Maybe you could do that before the mess happened. But you can't go back and off somebody.
I was going to say, can you say, hey, I want to go back to this specific time period and go there? Is that something your training allows you to have control over?
It's the desire that does it. You have to align your desire with the universe's desire. If the universe desires to change it, then they'll change it. Because I've had an experience where Oakland, California had a Spalding blimp crash. Right. I actually time traveled to that blimp crash, and my daughter was with me, so she even witnessed it. But when I was under the blimp and it was coming down deflating, I grabbed my daughter really quick and looked up and said, safe and protected. And soon as I said safe and protected, the under the blimp was blue, but it was like a neon blue. And then these power lines shot across underneath, and I actually saw it materialize out of nowhere, the power lines. And it hung, the blimp hung on it. And before I was there, someone must have got hurt. But then with the power lines being there, it slowed it down so people could get out of there. So that time, something changed. And that's in Oakland, California, the Spalding blimp crash. I forgot what year it was. I traveled 3 months in the past because I wanted proof. Because that's the thing. It's like, well, a lot of people say, well, prove it to me. But the best proof is to prove it for yourself. And the thought training will do that.
Wait a minute. So your daughter? But your daughter time-traveled too with you.
Yeah, she was young. Yeah, she was really young. She was like 2 years old.
Oh, my God. Does she have any memory of this, if you were to talk to her now?
Not now. Yeah, I mentioned it to her. She don't remember it now. But when she was tiny, she said she remembered me grabbing her and this big balloon come down. That's how she described it. And I was like, wow, I had a witness. And I found proof on the internet, and I had a witness.
Yeah. This is, I mean, really, James, you are living in a what seems to be a completely different reality. I mean, I just know, and this, you might say it's the egoic mind. I know I'm sitting here going, did this actually happen? Is this the guy who's figured out how that we can all time travel?
Actually given to me as a gift. It was given to me, and I'm just sharing what I experienced from it.
Yeah.
Because I've had it since 1999.
Yes.
So that's long.
I know. You've been doing this for a long time.
And I've actually ascended 19 times with it. You'll become an ascended master with it.
What do you think happens if everybody did this? If everybody did doctrine?
Can you imagine if everybody was like Jesus? unconditional loving each other all the time, don't matter who you are, don't matter what creed or anything color. It don't matter. We're all gods. We're all powerful, but we've just been sleeping to the truth. How powerful we are. They don't want us to know. They want us to be slaves, mental slaves.
Who is they, you think?
Because once you're free forever.
Do you think there's an agenda? Is it people in charge? Is it, you know, when you say they want us to be slaves?
It's the ego. It's this ego thing. It's the ego possessing people, making them misbehave, trying to pull you out of requirement. And that's the game with the ego. You know, let me see if I could keep you out of requirement so then I could have my way with you. And that's how the ego is. And it's really weird with the ego, because it's like the ego makes you misbehave, but then the ego comes in and wants to punish you for the misbehavior.
Right.
It's a vicious cycle. And people are trapped in this nightmare mentally, this limitation nightmare.
It would be great for all of us to wake up out of it.
Yeah, they have the choice now. It's only up to them. I can only open the door. They have to walk through it.
Do you think this would change
work? I
could
give you the keys to do it.
What about people finding their purpose in life? I mean, you know, we're talking about having superpowers here, but what would the planet look like if we were all in Christ consciousness? How do you think jobs would change, and careers, and people making money? What do you think would happen?
Oh, geez. Who knows what would happen, really? I don't know where the money system would be. Money is energy. You put out energy, you receive energy. It's like an energy exchange. That's what money is. A lot of people misquote it, but the root of all evil is the love of money. It's not money itself. It's the love of money. A lot of people misquote it.
Yeah.
It would be different. It would be, Jesus, like in the movies, like people with supernatural abilities living in the Garden of Eden. I guess money wouldn't be the only motivator. It would be an exchange of different energies.
Yes. Yes. See, now that's a divine vision. It really is.
Exchanging people's talents. Be like a barter system.
Have you met Jesus?
Oh, yeah. I see God every day. Every day. They're in the Garden of Eden. Once you're in the Garden of Eden, you can hear and speak with Jesus, God, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is female.
Oh.
That was actually Mother Mary was the Holy Ghost.
Wow, that's kind of, that's great to hear.
A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Yeah, but it was Jesus' time. It wasn't her time. It was Jesus' time. But that's a fairy godmother giving birth to God, the Holy Ghost.
Now, where do you think the divine feminine then fits into this?
Yeah, she's female, the Holy Ghost.
That is, yeah, you know what, if you think about it, when everybody talks about this idea that the institutions of the Judeo-Christian religions shut down the divine feminine, you would think, well, look, yeah, not telling people that the Holy Ghost is female would be a major thing that would stop that feminine energy in the world.
Well, the female is more powerful. She's the vestibule into this world. If you think about it, is a female.
Yeah. Do you think God is, does God, does the Father, I guess, have a gender?
Yeah, God's masculine, the Holy Ghost feminine, and Jesus is masculine and feminine. Because you got to think of them like twin flames.
Right.
Because they're working together.
This is this is fascinating, and as a minister and priest, prophet, philosopher, I know you're based in Colorado. I mean, could somebody come visit you and you would teach them? Or I know people can buy the course. You do counseling services as well. What other kinds of experiences?
Yeah, wherever they are, they could. They could get the training, and I would help them along the way until they could walk on their own, answer any questions they may have. But I don't have a training facility or anything like that right now. But whoever does the training, I'll be there with them along the way if they have any questions. It's not like I give you the training and then here you go. No. I'm there with you until you're walking on your own.
I told you before we started this interview that I was scared to practice the trade because I think there's a fear I have. I mean, it's the ego for sure that's going, okay, what if it works? What happens if I'm standing and then all of a sudden I do the physical exercises? I'm imagining the Merkaba, and then all of a sudden I'm outside in my room and I don't know how I got there. I know that's an egoic fear, but how can you talk me into why it would still be worth trying this out anyways?
Yeah, it's what is it called? I forgot the question. Oh, yeah. At first, it is scary. It does take you off guard at first. And that is the ego trying to make you, what is it called? Disinform you or misinform you and misdirect you. The ego is always trying to misdirect you and misinform you all the time. And even when you're doing the training, you run into Lizzie's. These egotistical people, and they'll try to misdirect you and misinform you. But you just stay with the training. You move with fear. You move through the fear with love and trust. And when you move through fear with love and trust, then there'll be a gift on the other side.
James Wright, PhD. Time travel, time lord, teleportation expert. Wow. This is, look, I encourage everybody listening, if you want to go down this rabbit hole, check out truetimetravel.com. We'll put the link there for dot training. James, such an interesting, mind-blowing discussion. I hope to have these experiences. I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'm excited for other people to report back on their experiences as well. Just because I think it's cool. I hope it's. I want to believe.
The training makes you a believer. It'll give you proof. Just be in requirement. Do the mental and physical exercises. You'll get experiences. Anybody can. And everyone's special. That's the beauty of it.
Awesome. Well, look, I am so grateful you came on the show. Thank you for this interview.
Thank you.
And keep spreading the message, James. Really.
Thank you for helping me spread it.
Absolutely. Yes, this is the right kind of super spreading. James Wright, thank you so much for coming on. I want to thank Rodney McGilvery for the theme music. I want to thank all of you for listening. Hey, if you buy the Dot Training Kit in Time Travel or Teleport, or you're just interested, send me a message on Instagram at TheGregBornstein. I want to know about your experiences. please. Did you know the human body was a flux capacitor? I didn't realize that until after this episode. Such cool stuff. All right, everybody. Talk to you soon.